Oasis about spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. And it could be, some of you that are here last week, we talked about victory, and we talked about seeing into the spiritual realm, and this could be considered victory too, because it has it continues right on with that. So spiritual discernment, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word that we're about to get into. We thank you that your hand is into your scriptures, Lord, and it's going to show us, reveal some things deeply to us, Lord, about spiritual discernment, how to walk in the authority that you've given to us, how to have victory in our lives, Lord, over areas and particular things that have struggled or we've struggled with for years, Lord, or even if it's just something that came up this week or whatever it is, Lord, that we will have an understanding to be able to see it for what it is and be able to have victory over that, to conquer it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So spiritual discernment. So last week we talked a little bit about kind of the spiritual realm that we live in, right? We talked about being able to see past the natural, to see into that spiritual that's going on behind us. Obviously, the Bible tells us a lot of things about God, right? That's a funny. Okay, the Bible tells us a lot of things about God, but one of the things that it tells us is that God is a four-letter word called love, right? God is love. Okay, and so that's pretty key when you think about God being able to who he is, his nature, his attributes, the things come out of him, which is love. So he's going to pour some things into our life to give us victory through love. That's his motivation for it, because he does love us. 1 John 4:16, we'll start there for a scripture, just to remind us of that very thing where it says this. It says, is there one before that, Jeff? Yep. So 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. For God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." It simply put says God is love. But the scriptures also tell us something else about God. It says that God is love, but God is also a spirit. Okay, so like last week we're talking about walking in, looking into that spiritual realm. If we know that God is a spirit, we need to understand that a little bit. So let's look at John 4:23 is where it says this. It said, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers," you want to be a true worshiper? I want to be a true worshiper. It says, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay? Now, true worshipers of God are going to worship him in the spirit or spiritually. Okay? It's not necessarily just the physical that we see. There's a spiritual part of worship. But we worship him in the spirit and in truth. So we really should figure out what that means. What does it mean to worship God spiritually? To worship God in spirit and in truth. We want to get closer to God. We want to have our relationship with him flourish. I want to be as intimate with God as possible. And then I think in order to do that, we have to understand the nature of God. If God is love and God is a spirit, we need to understand how to relate to God. You ever met somebody you couldn't relate to? Somebody that's maybe of a different culture, a different whatever, you know? It's like you're a businessman and these guys are whatever, from the biker gang, and so you're trying to have a conversation and you can't find anything to meet on. Or, you know, somebody's from the, you know, big city, New York City, and somebody's from, you know, the farms in Nebraska, and trying to have conversation, they're trying to relate. And if they got to know each other and started finding out about each other, they eventually would be able to relate. Well, we want to understand the nature of God, basically who he is, so that we can have a more intimate relationship. Since God is a spirit, it means that we should get to know this spiritual atmosphere that we talked about last week, and we should understand it. We were born into a spiritual realm that we can't see necessarily. We can't see it with our natural eyes, but yet we know that it's very, very real, and we talked about that last week. You know, just like I used the example that we know that the wind is real. Okay, you can't necessarily see it, but I woke up this morning, it's still dark out, and I go and sit in my chair and I'm praying and studying and looking out, and the trees are doing this, right? They're moving in the wind and I can hear it. Our house is old enough, you can still kind of hear that wind. And so I knew, without being able to physically see the wind, but I could see what it was doing, right? It was bending these trees over. We know that if it's blowing the snow across the parking lot, or you know, the leaves or whatever, we can see the effect of that wind, even though it is in an unseen form, right? And it's the same way with the Spirit. The Spirit is unseen, and yet we know that it affects the natural realm around us. Okay, just like I said this morning, spiritual warfare. There's things going on behind the scenes that when you're aware of it, it's not going to negatively affect me. I'm like, praise God, I made it to church this morning, right? You guys are here. You guys fought through the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual resistance to coming to church to be here this morning. Okay, and there's some maybe that aren't understanding what's going on, or maybe even for other reasons, but they just aren't able to be here this morning. Okay, well, we know that the wind is real because we can see it. We know the Spirit of God is real because we can see its effects on the realm around us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. It tells us that, you know, really, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Okay, that's that unseen realm. For the things which are seen are temporary, temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay, now we're talking about God. God is eternal. God is a spirit. He's unseen. But we are believing and looking into that realm. We're looking beyond what we can see right now to be able to see God. So in this scripture, he's talking specifically about seeing past the natural realm, the natural physical domain, and seeing into the spiritual realm that's causing things to happen. Why are things happening in your life that are happening today? What is behind that? There's some spiritual stuff going on. The Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. Okay? It talks about walking in the Spirit. It talks about living in the Spirit. Okay? And yet a lot of Christians are living according to the flesh. I'm going to deal with this. Galatians 5:16, just a couple verses along this line. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Okay, it's capital S, Holy Spirit. "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay, that's the natural. Okay, Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit." So it's saying, if you can acknowledge that you were born into a spiritual realm, that which is spirit, it says, John 3:17-18, right in there it says, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say that you must be born again." And it goes on to say that it's exactly like this. To walk in the Spirit is to walk as the wind. Okay? Now if I'm going to get into that today, but that's really what it's talking about. So we live in the Spirit. It says, let us walk also in the Spirit. Let us be in this. Let's understand this. Okay, now to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit is going to take believing in and trusting in something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. Okay, God is a spirit, and we are trusting Him to enable us and to empower us to live and to walk in the spiritual realm. Okay, we have to believe by faith, not only to believe in this realm that's going on, to believe there's things happening around us, but then to be able to walk in it, to be able to interact in a way. And I'm going to show you, Jesus, the disciples, and us can interact with the spiritual realm with our mouth and with the things that are going on around us. We're going to be able to interact with it. And so if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in it. And the other one said, if we walk in the Spirit, let us live in it, right? Let's live it out, okay? So we're going to do this by faith. We're going to do it by believing in something we can't see. Remember Hebrews 11:1, the faith scripture? So now faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? It's the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we can believe in the unseen realm. By faith, we can believe that there's a spiritual atmosphere that we're in right here, right now, that when we talk about an anointing during worship, we talk about, you know, the presence of God. I said last week, you know, there's guys that would sit down in a seat in an airplane and a person next to them bursts into tears for no reason. They don't know why. There's a spiritual atmosphere that we're in. And when somebody is living in that, walking in the Spirit, they're affecting things in the natural realm by the unseen. It's by faith. They're just walking by faith in God. And now that term spirit is in the Bible over 500 times. Okay? And that doesn't include the spirits or spiritual or other, you know, versions of the word. Spirit is in the Bible over 500 times by itself. Okay? And yet, so many Christians today act like the unseen realm doesn't even exist. And yet it's all throughout the Bible, all throughout, front to back, talking about spirits and ghosts and things that are in the unseen realm, and yet people are pretending like it doesn't even exist. They rather get bounced around by what they can see instead of looking into the unseen realm that's behind it. They never even look past the seen into the unseen kingdoms. People struggle with things like poverty, anger, lust. You know, things that are spiritually related. They have relationship problems over and over again. They have bad things continually happening. And they don't look past the natural realm. They just think, that's my lot in life. That's who I am. Things like this always happen to me. And they don't look past it into that spiritual realm to see what's really going on behind it, behind the natural. Okay, the word spirit in the Greek, like when it says that God is a spirit, or it says to walk in the spirit, okay, that word in the Greek is the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. Okay, anybody ever heard of numismatic? P-N-E-U-A, where is it? P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. Okay, and that is the word spirit. Okay, if you think of numismatic, okay, like air, okay, and I'll give you the definition for pneuma. It is a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. A current of air, a breath, or a breeze. Okay, God breathed his spirit into us, the Bible says in Genesis. Okay, so there's, it's to do with the wind. It's almost identical to the way that we would describe the wind. It is like a breath, it is like a breeze, it is a current of air. Okay, it's something that we can't see, but it is there. And that's exactly the way pneuma, like numismatic, if you've ever heard of an air-powered whatever, okay, numismatic, is it comes from the word pneuma out of the Greek. Okay, it means air-driven. Okay, the discernment of spirits, or the ability to identify the spirits affecting the natural realm, is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift to be able to see into this realm. It's something Jesus, God, Holy Spirit got together and said, we need to empower them to be able to do this. Let's give them a gift. Okay, something they don't have to earn, but we're just going to give it to them. And the Holy Spirit gave us the gift of spiritual discernment. Look at this. We'll read all of the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit from. Okay, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another by the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Okay, it's one of these gifts. To another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and are given by that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually as he will. Now we all have access to the same Spirit. Okay, it's not God is going to, you know, give this to one, give this to you. He gave us all the exact same Spirit, who then uses individuals in the body to bring glory to his name through the operation of some of these gifts. Okay, discernment of spirits is a free gift. Okay? But it may need to be asked for, okay? Maybe not just given, or if it is given, some people just tuck it away, put it on a shelf somewhere, and never use it, okay? You can be given a gift. I've got gifts in my closet right now I haven't even opened, right? They're still in the package, I know what they are, kind of thing, but I didn't need it yet, okay? Some are like, I don't know, I'll give you examples, but I got things, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, you don't have to necessarily open a gift that is given to you. You can tuck it away somewhere. And that's what a lot of people have done with most of these Holy Spirit gifts, is tucked it away somewhere thinking, yeah, it's in the back, it's back there. But they don't use it or operate in it. They don't use it. Let me give you the example, just because I can use it as an example. My good friend of mine, a pastor friend, likes to give me guns and things for gifts, okay? Because he knows we're into that, he's into that. And sometimes he would give numismatic guns, air guns, right? And so I have at least two now, air pistols, CO2 pistols, that are still in a plastic packaging because you can see it. I know exactly what it is. And I'm thinking, I don't really need it. I've got a couple, you know, for plinking around, show the boys, you know, they'll work with it as they get older kind of stuff. I don't really give them the handgun stuff yet because they're kind of young. So I'm thinking, okay, another couple years, I'll get them out of the closet. Okay, well, they're tucked away somewhere. I have them, but I haven't opened them. Okay, well, when the time comes, I know exactly where they are, and I can go and get them, pull them out, and we will utilize them. Okay, well, I'm telling you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are like that, where they've been tucked away, but it's time. I think in this day and age, we need to pull the gifts out and start operating with the gifts, or we're going to be eaten up. You know, we're going to dwindle down. Our faith is going to go away kind of thing because there is a great falling away in the last days. Things are not going to get easier to be a Christian. It's going to get harder. You need the Spirit to interpret and understand what's going on so you don't get swayed to and fro by all the doctrines or all the news or the, God forbid we get some of these guys that are running for president right now as our president. It's not going to make things easier, right? So we need to have spiritual discernment to see what it is that's going on. Okay, well, one of the things that comes with a spiritual gift of discernment is the ability then to address what you see. Okay, so if I see a demonic force trying to attack my family, things are going wrong, glasses getting dropped and broke, and milk spilled over here, and then the dog gets hurt, and then this happens, man, we're stopping. There's a spiritual force coming against a family. We're going to stop. So we need to break some curses. We need to pray. We need to bind up this enemy. We need to resist against what is happening, and we'll take time to stop and do that. Immediately, you see a difference in what happens. Okay, we had things going on this morning. Technologically, we're back to normal, right? Right now, because it, pretty much, we are. Because we're able to have worship. We've got scriptures on the slides. I mean, things are back because we saw it for what it was. We said, this is spiritual warfare. Okay, we need to stop this. Okay, so one of the things Jesus did, and I want to show you, was that he cast out spirits. He addressed those 500 in the Bible, right? That were talked about spirits. He addressed them. Look at a couple of them. I'll just show you some examples. Mark 1:23. One place Jesus did this. He says, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit in King James language is a demon. Okay, it was the way that they referred to a demon. They didn't know a different language, so they said it as an unclean spirit. And he cried out. The spirit cries out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? They knew their place. They're under Jesus' feet. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, the spirit, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him or threw him down and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. He had no choice. Jesus told him to do it. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine or teaching is this? For with authority, he commands even the demons, and they obey him. Okay? They were wowed by what Jesus did in the synagogues because even the demons are subject unto this guy. They had never seen such authority in what seemed like a human being, right? They had never seen this kind of stuff happening before. Okay, so there's one. He had authority, Jesus did, over the spiritual realm that we're talking about. Jesus walked in. You think Jesus knew his authority in the spiritual realm? Okay, so he walked in that. Okay, let me give you another example. Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening was come, Matthew 8:16, Jeff, says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. So Jesus would, again, speak into that spiritual realm and say, come out of them, and they would have to do it. You guys remember the story? I won't go into that one, but the swine and the demons cried out, if you're going to cast us out, cast us into the swine. And he cast them into the swine. Swine ran down and ran off a cliff into the water. Right? So they even have a voice that they can speak. Okay, at times. Okay, so it doesn't directly tell us what spirits or what demons he cast out of these people when he was in the synagogues, but it very well could have been a spirit of fear that had somebody bound up. They couldn't leave their house. They were just bound in fear. They're just afraid of everything. And their friend brings them in and says, this man, he can't do anything. You know, this loved one I have, can you help them? And he casts out a spirit of fear that person may have freedom. You know, it could have been a spirit of depression, a spirit of anxiety. It could be a spirit of addiction. There could be different things that these people had. They themselves, or they brought a loved one to them and said, we need some freedom from this. We know that you have authority over what they knew was a spiritual issue in this person's life. They knew that they needed to have something dealt with. Okay, the disciples themselves, it wasn't just Jesus, but now I want to show you just not just Jesus, but the disciples also walked with this authority. The disciples also cast out spirits. In Matthew 10:1, another good example, but when Jesus had called, do we have Matthew 10:1? Yeah, it'd be right before this one. So Matthew 10:1 says, when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, okay, that's the demons, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, so he calls them unto him and says, I'm empowering you, giving you authority to do this. Who is doing this today? Who is walking in an authority for the miraculous today? It's the people with faith to do it. The people that believe that this is real, this is available, and I can do this. The people that are walking by faith are walking in the miraculous. They're seeing things happening. Okay? Another scripture, 8:5 in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, it says this, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. They were getting deliverance. People were flocking to the faith-filled believer because they were able to be set free from these things that had bound them up for so long. Okay, with that discernment of spirits, then, I want to show you what else we can do with it in our life. Remember I said there's times when things will be happening, and if we look at the natural, we get frustrated, we get confused, we get angry. There's all these things that might come out of that if we're just looking at the natural. But if you can see beyond it, you can see what's behind it, you can address that spirit that's back there. I want to give you an example of that in Acts chapter 16. Okay, this is, I was going to give you a little background before we got to that. The discernment of spirits. As the disciples are on their way to the temple to pray one day, a woman with a mocking spirit, okay, she was kind of into sorcery kind of stuff, casting of spells, known as a soothsayer, okay, and she came up with a mocking spirit and started mocking the disciples and saying things about them. It actually was true what she said, but she was mocking them in a way to try to make it so that no one would follow them, that no one would believe them. Okay, well, the Apostle Paul was one of those that was there, and knowing what spirit was operating in that mocking woman, he finally got fed up with it, and he turned around and addressed it. And that's what we're going to read right here in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Okay, it says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That means that she was casting spells and her masters were getting money for it, for her to cast spells on people. But she had a spirit of divination. I'm going to explain that. And then verse 17 says, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shows us the way of salvation. Okay, mocking them. And this she did for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the very same hour. Okay, that means right away it came out. So he was walking along. Let me give you the background. But Paul finally got tired of this, right? Paul finally got tired of this nagging spirit, this woman she's going to cast spells on him. They knew she had a spirit of divination. And he finally gets tired of it and turns around and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, knock it off. Okay, come out of her. Leave her alone, okay? And so that's what I'm hoping, that someday some of us will do the same thing, that we'll get tired of that spirit that's been bugging us. We'll get tired of that spirit that's been holding us back, holding us down, keeping us in doubt. Doubt is a spirit, okay, that tries to hold people bound up. And we'll get tired of that and say, I've had enough. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out of me. and we cast it away. That we get it far from us so that we can get it on the outside. Believe me, when they're out here, it's easier to fight than when they're attached to us. Okay, they're not in your spirit, but they can attach to you. Okay, so this discernment of spirits is what helps with that. This word divination, she had a spirit of divination. In the Greek is the word puthon. What's that sound like? Puthon? It's like a python. Okay, it's where we in the English language get our word for python, the snake. Okay, it's a sly spirit. Remember in the Garden of Eden, what did Satan, what was he referred to as? The serpent that beguiled Eve. Okay, so it's a sneaky snake kind of spirit, right? And she was casting spells and doing all that. That's what a soothsayer was. So this sly spirit, like is describes the devil in the Garden of Eden that deceived Adam and Eve, the Apostle Paul, having after received the exact same Holy Spirit that you and I received, utilized the gift of discernment to do two things. Number one, he stopped the mocking that was going on. He finally got tired of this spirit bugging him and making fun of him. And that's the first thing he did. But secondly, he set the woman free from that demonic spirit so that she could live in peace. Imagine some of the things that have come against you that have been bugging you and heavy. What if you could have freedom? The answer is you can have freedom from that. Okay? This is exactly how spiritual discernment can help you in your walk with God. What a difference it would make in your life. Ask yourself, what difference would it make in your life if you understood the spirits that are operating behind the scenes and then you addressed it? You dealt with that spiritual force that was coming against your life instead of putting up with it, instead of just suffering with it, instead of thinking there's no way out of this. You're serving the God of the creation, the God Almighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. Nothing that He can't do. And yet Christians are shaking their head. No, He can't deal with it. He can't get this out of my life. You don't know how many years I've had to deal with this. You don't know how hard this has been or how big this is in my life. This is generations. This is whatever. I say start with a spirit of doubt and cast that out, and then you'll be able to see into the spiritual realm and start dealing with some of this other stuff that's going on. If you can see a spirit of anger, if you can see a spirit of lust, if you can see a spirit of whatever it is operating in your life, and dealt with it, you could have freedom from it. Rather than just thinking, this is just who I am. This is just the way it is for me. I always have had this. I've just got to deal with this. I just have to overcome this. Rather than looking at it like something you have to overcome, put it into the hands of the spiritual realm that God is a spirit. God can see it. God can deal with a spirit. And God can deal and do exactly what He needs to do. One of the things that would happen in your life if you begin to see and walk in that spiritual realm, is that you'll see when something is tormenting you, when something is weighing your heart down, things like depression, anxiety, worry, lust, anger, poverty, you can discern that it is a spirit that's coming against you, and you can use your God-given authority as a child of God to tell it to knock it off, to address it. I don't want you anymore. In Jesus' name, I don't need you, I don't want you, and I don't have to have you. In Jesus' name, go away. Obey Jesus. Obey the disciples. Why can't it obey you? If you can speak into the spiritual realm, and I know that we can, why can't we walk in that kind of a freedom? Okay, each one of the examples that we see in the scriptures, the people of God actually spoke into the spiritual world and changed the natural circumstance. God has given you the ability to speak powerfully into the spiritual realm and make a difference in your life and the lives of the people around you. Okay? In 1 John, the scriptures tells us to try or to test the spirits, whether they be of God. Because not everything that is going on in your life is from God. There is an enemy that is out to get you and seeking whom he may devour, and we need to resist and fight against him. Okay, some of the calamity, some of the pain, some of the suffering, some of the bad things is simply not from God. And we can address that when we look beyond the natural and see what's going on behind it. God has given you the gift of discernment and given you the ability and the authority of His name to be able to carry it out. Now, I've used this example. I know I was a pastor we watched on spiritual warfare a while back. It's a Wednesday night. But he talked about a brawl going on outside of a bar in this little town. And there was a cop that they dispatched to go take care of that brawl, right? And it ended up this little 4'10" little lady cop that goes to, you know, break up a bar fight. And the great big bouncers and all these guys are fighting. And she gets there, okay? She's just a little girl, right, to break up a big fight. But she was given the authority of that badge right here that automatically gave her a one-up on everybody else there. And she had power, right? Okay, so she had what she needed, and she broke that fight up all by herself. Okay, so God has given you authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to have victory. Okay, it's not something that we have to go into, I just can't overcome. That little girl could have went in there and said, there's no way, these guys are just way bigger. But she knew her authority, and she knew she had the power, so she knew she was going to be able to win. Okay, she knew that she was going to be able to address that situation. And so she went in with that kind of a confidence. Okay, God has given you that gift of discernment, given you the authority of his name to do something about it. The only prerequisite to walking in your spiritual authority, the only prerequisite, what you have to have done or know ahead of time, is that you've got Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Because when it comes to getting a spirit that is not in your heart, for an unbeliever, it can be attached really deeply into their heart. But for a believer, it can't get into your heart. But you have a spiritual atmosphere right around your life, and a spirit of anger or lust or whatever it is can be attached to you like a barnacle on a boat. Okay? And so to get rid of that, you have to have a prerequisite. You have to be full on the inside. And I'm going to tell you why that's important. Jesus actually will tell us why it's important. Luke chapter 11, verse 24, he says this. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, the spirit, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, the spirit says, I will return unto my house whence I came out, or where I came from. Okay, and when he cometh, he finds it swept. If he finds it swept and garnished, if he finds it empty, then he goeth and he taketh to him seven other spirits, even more wicked than himself, and they all enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. But if you're born again, you've got Jesus in your heart, you're not swept and garnished on the inside. You're not empty on the inside. Okay? When we come to the end of our pride, and we realize that we can't have victory in the spiritual realm, when we come to the end of our pride and we say, I can't overcome sin, I need Jesus. When we do this and we invite Jesus to come into our heart, he fills us up so that we are not swept and garnished. We have no fear that they're coming back seven times worse on a believing Christian. No way. Doesn't happen. Never seen it in, I'm going over 20 years of ministry and deliverance, never once seen it happen. Okay? Not to a believer. An unbeliever who doesn't know if they're saved or not, but they go ahead and they want to deal with stuff, then it's a different story. But when you're a believer, it's just simply not going to happen. Okay? When we open ourselves up to Jesus, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. We put our trust in him to save us, to protect us, to keep us from harm. He comes into us and he fills us up with himself so that there's no room for the unclean. There's no room for the evil spirit to be in there. Jesus' demons cannot coexist. They're not going to be in your heart together. Not going to happen. Jesus won't allow it. And Jesus is the one casting them out. Jesus has the authority. He's the one that has it all, the power. And so he's not going to allow that. He is going to keep them from bringing us harm. Last scripture, listen to what Jesus says in Romans 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door. You think of the door of your heart. And I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Okay, we can invite Jesus in, and that's what we've done. And I'm going to offer it again, because just in case anybody in here doesn't know exactly where you're at. But to be able to have Jesus come into your heart, to make sure that you know that Jesus is in me, that I'm saved, that I am full, I have no fear of this other stuff. So let's do this. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. This is something that, in my opinion, it's between you and God. It is something that is intimate between you and God on where you're at in your relationship with Him, whether you think He's out there in outer space or you've actually truly believed and received Him into your heart as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, the one that has paid the price for you. So in Jesus' name right now, I pray for anyone in this room that has questions, that's not sure, that is not understanding exactly maybe where you're at with God. Right here, right now, is your opportunity. Right here is an opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord. I want you as my Savior. I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe you gave your life on the cross for me. But I believe you rose from the dead and gave us the victory. And by my faith in you, I live in that victory too. In Jesus' name, we give you this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Does anybody want to invite Jesus in? I believe I know everybody in here, but is there anybody that thinks, you know what, Lord, maybe that is me? Okay, just want to make sure. So I ended it with a prayer instead of an invitation because I believe you guys are open. But praise God. Let's press into God. We know, Father, I just thank you for your word. I want to pray again, Lord. Thank you for your word. I thank you that your hand is upon us, Lord, that you are revealing things to us, deeper things than we have yet seen. Lord, and I pray it's going to take a spiritual growth in our lives to be able to receive of you and the things that we're talking about today, Lord. It's going to take a faith that may stretch us, a faith that may take us beyond where we've ever been in our walk with you, to walk in the spiritual realm, the receiving, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, Father, to be able to receive all the gifts and the things that you want to give to us. Father, I pray that we're open to you. I pray and cast out spirits of doubt out of this church, Lord, out of individuals and us corporately, that, Father, we don't resist you but with doubt, but that we believe and receive by faith what you want to give us, Lord. We trust you. We thank you for health, for healing, for prosperity, for all the good things that you're pouring into our life every day. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.